This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In the U.S., guns kill more than 30,000 people every year. That's 85 people a day killed in homicides, suicides, and gun-related accidents. Now think about those numbers in the wake of the tragic shootings in Newtown, Connecticut that killed 26 people. Tragic as it was, 26 dead represent fewer gun deaths than the daily U.S. average.
In other words, more than three Newtowns happen every day across America. As we know, Newtown has sparked a new debate about gun control, but some say it's time to approach guns as a public health issue, like smoking or automobile safety.
Dr. Dariush Mozafarian is an epidemiologist at the Harvard School of Public Health and the lead author of an article in the Journal of American Medical Association entitled "Curbing Gun Violence: Lessons from Public Health Successes." And Dr. Mozafarian, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
It sounds as though you want to move this debate beyond gun control. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, my research has been focused for more than a decade on improving unhealthy behaviors related to heart disease. I'm a cardiologist and have studied diet, physical activity, and smoking. And together with other colleagues who have studied childhood safety and childhood health, and also gun violence, you know, we looked at the debates and discussions that stemmed from the Newtown tragedy, and nearly all of them in the media and from policymakers were focused on just gun ownership, as though it's just about who owns guns. And certainly there are certain types of guns that you know, we probably shouldn't have, and there are certain people that shouldn't own guns. But gun violence is really a broad public health problem that stems from cultural issues, educational issues, project safety issues, behavioral issues that go far beyond gun ownership alone. And we actually have proven successes from other public health crises over the last century that we can take from to address gun violence.
Well, let's talk about at least one or two of those. Let's talk about past successes with tobacco and smoking. I mean, people still smoke. Tobacco is still available, but as we know, far fewer people smoke now than they used to, and as a result, far fewer people die from tobacco. So what does that teach us about how we might limit the number of gun deaths?
Yeah, so, you know, tobacco is a great public health success in this country. There's a lot of work to go, but we've reduced tobacco use by more than half over the last several decades. And I don't want to equate tobacco to owning a gun because, you know, there are people who can own guns safely, whereas tobacco cannot be used safely. It's harmful at any dose. But gun violence we can equate to tobacco, and how can we get rid of gun violence? And so there were several key approaches that worked to reduce tobacco. And as one example, we list several in our paper. One example is taxation. You know, products should, the cost of products on the open market should represent both their cost of their manufacture, but also their societal costs. And so when tobacco was taxed, those funds actually provided much-needed stable revenue for education programs. And so similarly, we should have a meaningful national tax on guns and ammunition that, you know, everybody should pay, and those funds should go toward reducing gun violence and improving gun safety so that, you know, with a secure source of national funding, we could actually have real comprehensive programs on reducing gun violence. Mm. We also need to change social and cultural norms. This is something that has sort of happened under the radar, but, you know, in the 70s or 80s or 90s, it was completely okay for anybody to smoke on television or in movies, or even to smoke in front of your children. Now we realize that that's, you know, not socially acceptable. And similarly, gun violence right now is so widely accepted. You know, pretty much every hero in a video game or in movies or in television takes out a gun and shoots at someone, and it's viewed as cool and fine and okay. We need to change that cultural norm.
Now, when we talk about approaching this crisis from a health policy perspective, it seems hard to avoid the conclusion, though, that the best approach is no guns at all. I mean, we know that guns in a house, for example, increase the risk of teenage suicides, of accidental death. So wouldn't the best health policy approach be simply to say there should be no guns at all?
Well, I mean, certainly that could be argued, and there's evidence to support that. And I think that you know, if that were something that everyone would agree to, you know, we should try that. I think that you know, the very real challenge is that's unlikely to be practically a solution anytime in at least the next several years in the United States, given the numbers of Americans that own guns, you know, the people that believe that should be fine and okay, and, you know, also the constitutional protections for gun ownership. So I think that, you know, we need a practical approach that certainly restricts certain types of guns, like assault rifles, that everybody can, you know, everybody should agree at least we can get rid of. But I think that if we move beyond that debate, which I don't think will end anytime soon, there are other things we can agree on. And so another example is cars. We all have cars.
Mm-hmm.
There are more cars in the United States than Americans, and still we've done enormous numbers of things over the last several decades to reduce car accidents. And it's just one example. You know, the NRA and others have said that, you know, if there's a gun shooting, it's the person that did the shooting. They're to blame. Let's focus on them. But can you imagine if 50 years ago or 60 years ago, every time there was a car accident and somebody died, a child died or passengers died, we said, oh, it was just the fault of that one driver. We don't need to do anything else. It was that one driver. You know, we wouldn't have gotten anywhere. But instead, we implemented crash safety standards, automobile safety inspections, both passive and active protection of the cars, driver education, licensing, drunk driving legislation, speed limits. I mean, the list goes on. And now we all drive. Everybody enjoys their cars and uses their cars. But we've reduced deaths from cars by 90% in the United States. So if we can do that for gun violence, that would be a great success and avoid some of the great political battles over gun ownership.
And do you see that approach as sort of casting this in a sort of public health policy context as a way to push past the resistance represented so effectively by the gun lobby, for example?
I think so. I mean, there are certainly some, you know, in the NRA and others that, you know, basically would resist even maybe these common sense approaches. But I think the vast majority of Americans, if you said, look, we have prescription drugs, we have bleach to clean our bathtubs, we have cars, but we also have common sense things we do to restrict the toxicity and harm from these products. If we just apply this common sense approaches to gun violence, with gun violence as the target, I think we could rapidly build a consensus of the vast majority of Americans to actually do something. And I think that this has been missing, at least from the policy debates and discussions that I've heard, which have really just focused on issues of gun ownership rather than a broader public health approach.
Sure. Dr. Dariush Mozafarian, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Dariush Mozafarian is an epidemiologist at the Harvard School of Public Health and the lead author of an article in the Journal of American Medical Association entitled Curbing Gun Violence: Lessons from Public Health Successes.